First Bible reading is going to be read by Ken, and it's coming from 1 Kings. Thanks, Ken.
The Bible reading is from 1 Kings, chapter 21, verses 17 through 29, and the initial heading is, "The Lord Condemns Ahab." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to take possession. You shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession?' And you shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your own blood.' Ahab said to Elijah, 'Have you found me, O my enemy?' He answered, 'I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. I will utterly burn you up and will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free in Israel. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the anger to which you have provoked me, and because you have made Israel to sin.' And of Jezebel, the Lord also said, 'The dogs shall eat Jezebel within the walls of Jezreel. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat. And anyone of his who dies in the open country, the birds of the heavens shall eat.' There was none who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab, whom Jezebel his wife incited. He acted very abominably in going after idols, as the Amorites had done, whom the Lord cast out before the people of Israel. And when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his flesh, fasted, and lay in sackcloth and went about dejectedly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days I will bring the disaster upon his house.'" This is God's word.
Thanks, Alan. Peter's going to come and read our New Testament lesson.
Our reading comes from Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 18, page 1029 for those using the Pew Bible. The heading is "The Church to the Church in Thyatira." "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw in great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart. And I'll give to each according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. The one who conquers and the one who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with an rod of iron. As when an earthen pot is broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I'll give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of God.
We're going to look at this passage today, the church at, and if I've struggled with this name. If I say it wrong 3 or 4 times, just ignore me. Thyatira is the best way to do it. But as we do, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can open your word today, and we pray that you would just help us to understand it, and not just to see images, but to see your message for all of us in our hearts. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the church in Thyatira. An interesting little church, and they're very challenging words. And this Jezebel they talk about, someone they talk about, we'll mention a bit later on, in Kings as well. We don't know much about this town. It doesn't exist anymore. And if you look at the journeys of Paul, it's not one of the cities that we get mentioned that he actually visited. And yet it gets written to by Jesus. If you're all familiar with the passages in Acts, you'll notice that, no, not Acts, Paul mentions a wonderful lady called Lydia who dealt in purple cloth. She came from this town. So there we go. And Thyatira is part of its history. Is one of those towns where the Labor Party would be really at home. Simply because, you know how in the olden days they had guilds? The trades had all these guilds and all. So if you were a silversmith, you were in that silversmith guild and all that sort of thing. The precursor to the Labor Party. Well, Thyatira was one of those towns. So it does have a history. There were a number of crafts going on in that city, so there were all these people working there. And Jesus writes to them. If it's one that we don't get a letter that Paul writes to the church in Thyatira, why? Well, it's important because it has a message for them, it has a message for us as well. We can see that it wasn't all that it seemed, but what it's really saying to us is here we have a loving and a patient God. Here we find that although God is totally opposed to evil, has promised judgment to those who remain in their sins, there is so much more for believers. The passage in Kings, remaining in your sins, very, very descriptive of the punishment. But Ahab was forgiven, and he wasn't punished. Okay, his sons were. And in this passage in Revelation 2, right at the end, we have this beautiful promise from our God in verse 20, and I will give him the morning star. He will give him light. He will give him blessing to those who stand firm. I will give him the morning star. So right from the start of this letter, we are told that the one who writes to them is the only one alone who can make all these beautiful promises. It all starts, all of these letters, to start with the angel of the church of the particular one that he's writing to. It's Jesus. And here we see The very first verse, verse 18, how Jesus describes himself. And this is important. Verse 18, and the angel of the church of Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. This is no ordinary man writing. Jesus uses his official title, the Son of God. He is the Eternal One. He is the Blessed Redeemer. He is the one who provides and offers and gives the forgiveness of sins. Here he is, he describes, and this is the only part in this, in Revelation, where Jesus describes himself as the Son of God. So here he is. Here is my authority to write to you, the people in this town. And here is his authority to write to you and I, even today. It's not me writing, or Bob, or Peter, or anybody. It is the Son of God. It is his words. And good idea to listen. Real good idea to listen. And look at the description. Has eyes like a flame of fire. Whose feet are like burnished bronze. Eyes that see into the very heart of all of these people. Eyes who see into the very heart of you and I today. He knows us and we can hide nothing from him. He sees into our hearts, knows where we are at. He is able to see into people, know where they are against him. But his feet also are burnished bronze, a reminder of his great power, the power with his feet to crush evil. He judges in perfect wisdom, and he's sure in all he does. He is the Son of God, full of glory and might. So he can pronounce judgment. He can confront people, and he does, because he knows their hearts. And he will do it to you and I. He confronts us. We might hide things from other people, but we cannot hide them from him. He knows where we are at every single day. And so he looks at these people, the church in Thyatira, and what does he say? In verse 19, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance. He knows them. He looks at them, and this is what he sees. Love. Love shown in service and faithfulness. And perseverance, patient endurance. Is that what he sees when he looks at you and I? Does he see us as that? We hope and pray so. Remember, we're all a work in progress, so we get there sometimes. We get there close. Our works and our love. And our faith and our service, all of these things are for our God. Their lives truly show that they are God's children. that they are seeking to serve him and to give him glory in all that they do. He sees how they are growing in the Lord, doing more and more each day. That should be how he sees us as well, how we are growing. And we think, oh yeah, I've succeeded today. I didn't hurt anybody. I've been very patient. That's a challenge, isn't it? My faith has been strong. We're all pretty good judges of ourselves. We know how good we are, don't we? Yeah, of course we do. Yeah. God says, hang on a sec, rewind and have another look. Their lives here in this little church are reflecting how they are living for the Lord. And it's a beautiful picture, and that should be the same picture that he gets when he looks at us. But he goes on to say in this one little verse 19, and that your later works exceed the first. Hang on. Your later works exceed the first. We know it's not easy serving God. It's not easy standing firm in our faith. It's not easy helping and sharing and praying for other people. But here he says, you've done it this time. Okay, next time you've got to do more. What you've done there, you've got to exceed the next time, and then the next time, and then the next time. Come on, God, give me a break. Isn't it like that? But that's what he says. And that your latter works exceed the first. He's seen it in their lives. He's seen it how more and more each day, in their service for him, they are striving more and more. It's not easy, but that's how we too should be striving in our service. Don't slow down just because we're getting older and wearier a lot quicker. We might not be able to serve the Lord in doing something physically, but we can serve the Lord prayerfully. I don't know whether I've used this story here. I use it everywhere I go. There's a lady in the church many years ago. She was in her 90s. Her claim to fame was she would come to church every Sunday morning, never failed unless she was sick and in hospital. Her claim to fame was she would come in with her walking stick and go out without it. She'd always forget it. And the wonderful thing was that someone would be chasing her down the street. Here's your walking stick. You're walking. Oh, I forgot it again. But she got so frustrated in her older years because she said, I can't do this anymore. She was one of those ladies who spent many years in the PWA, all cooking and all the things that the ladies do. Well, if there was a function on, she would always want to be there helping in the kitchen and all those sort of things. She's in her 90s, she's getting very frustrated because she couldn't do it. Very hard to do those things when you're leaning on a walking stick. And she was irritated. And I visited her one day and she was moaning and groaning to me. And I said, well, you know, now you're getting up. I tried to be delicate. So what do you do each day if you can't do all these other things? She's so frustrated. I said, well, she said to me, well, I get up in the morning. Yeah, that's a good idea. And I open my Bible and I read my Bible and I pray. Great. Then what do? I have breakfast. What do you do after that? I have a rest. What do you do after that? Oh, I get my Bible out again and read it, and I pray. And went through a whole day with her. And she spent so much time in prayer, but she didn't realise she was working for the Lord. When I explained it to her, she wasn't frustrated anymore. But she could see what she was doing had changed. And so her previous effort was here, but the next one was better. Well, not better, but, you know, what did I say? More excellent. Doesn't matter. It might change for us. We can't do this, but we can do this. All in the service of the Lord. And this is what God sees, the Lord Jesus sees in this church. He sees these people constantly working and serving him. They all have gifts to use, and so do you and I. We all have gifts, and those gifts help us so that our later ones, later things we do, always exceed the first one. Because we are growing and we are serving more and more. So that's where he's all about. He looks at them. And then he's got this wonderful thing. There he comes again. It always seems to happen in all these letters. He uses that word, but. Well, we thought we were going well. But there in verse 20 this time. But I had this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel. And he goes on to talk about it. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent. No, he's not happy. This is the same Jezebel that's talked about in 1 Kings. If you want to read her story, it starts in 1 Kings 16. Not a very nice lady. And we read about her in the passage before, in 1 Kings 21, where it was prophesied by God in his judgment of her death. And it wasn't nice. Because of her sinfulness, God wreaked judgment upon her. She was sinning. And that's why he talks about it here. She refuses to repent. Her judgment has a lesson for everyone. What does he say? Verse 23, 25 of Revelation. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden, only hold fast to what you have until I come. He pronounces judgment on her. But there is that beautiful promise to those who hold fast. Don't give in to the teachings of Satan. Don't give in. Hold fast. Stand firm. Her judgment was real. And it's a lesson to everybody. The challenge is there. In Matthew 16, 27, it declares the same message of the return of Christ. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what he has done. Jezebel got what she deserved and will get it. Those who hold firm, those who hold fast, that means you and I, until the return of Jesus, we have this beautiful promise. We will overcome. We will receive that morning star. So the challenge for us, as it was with this young church, is not to get caught up in the false teachings, but hold firmly to the truth as declared by Christ. It was mentioned in our prayer before. Hold firm. Hold firm to the truth of what Christ has declared. Do not hold on, as we would say it today. Do not get fooled by the teachings of the world. The quickest way to get into trouble as a kid was easy, wasn't it? Because your mate would say to you, come on, let's do it. Everybody else does it. And off you go. And you get caught. Everyone else does it, so don't worry. And that's what Satan would have us believe. Everyone else does it, so it's all right. Rubbish. Hold fast so you do not sin against our wonderful God. Jesus offers us this gift. We will stand firm. And in this same passage, it talks there about, and the previous one to the church at Pergamum, it says to us, where did it go? Here it is. She, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I think I said it last time. It's not just about those two things. But think of it in this way. The Ten Commandments have two focuses. The first four are commandments in relation in our relationship to our God. The next six are in our relationships to other people. Sexual immorality fits into the bottom six. The one about food sacrificed to idols fits into the first four. So what this passage is saying is there's no excuse. There's no opt-out clause as far as God is concerned. But he has promised, excuse me, to those who stand firm, I will give him the morning star. That bright morning star is Christ himself. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the bright morning star. It's Jesus Christ, the glory of God, the full knowledge of our Heavenly Father, the light of Christ is what shines brightly in you and me, in our hearts, every single day. How are we going? Is your light shining? Is it really? It should be. More and more each and every day. Our lives should reveal our faith in Christ Jesus. Your lives, my lives, just like the people here in this little church, through our deeds, our love, our faith, our service of our wonderful God, show that we are walking the walk and talking the talk. We are committed to holding fast to his teachings and his alone. Sacrificial love and faith that is strong enough to persevere in all situations. Make one clear declaration though. It ain't easy. Because in our human strength, we can't handle it. So we need to trust in our God, to rely on His strength, His power, His might, the Holy Spirit that lives within you, so you can show God is at work within you. All of us, all of our lives must be showing how we are growing and growing each day, how we are committed to serving our wonderful God. And no matter where we are on life's journey, God will show you how to serve Him more and more each day. Remember my little old lady friend? She was so frustrated until she saw that she was serving. What about you and me? You are for promise, the bright morning star. Look forward to all that God is doing in your life for His glory. Let's just bow our heads in prayer.